message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
What does the presence of the Lord do for you? Attraction of favor. It gives you favor. Exodus 33 that we read earlier. Exodus 33 verse 16. The presence of God gives you favor. Quickly, Exodus 33 verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Grace is like favor. Is it not in thou goest with us? Did you see that? The favor is because thou goest with us. The favor came as a result of what? The presence of the Lord. I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the earth, so shall we be separated. To be separated, that means to be distinguished for glory, to be distinguished for favor. Plenty of people came for interview. You don't qualify, yet you are picked. That is carrier of presence. Plenty of people came for proposals. Your own does not fit, yet you are picked. Somebody shared a testimony in this ministry. He did not apply for that contract. He was called. His exact name was called upon to come for a contract. And I'm sure many will have bid there for that contract, yet they were not called. He did not bid for it. He was called and he was given. Not just that, much more. Hallelujah. It attracts favor. Number three, the presence of God, what does it give to you? It gives you elevation. Psalm 75 from the 6 to 7. I won't be able to read all that, but Psalm 75 verse 6 to 7. Promotion cometh neither from the east nor west nor from the south. Verse 7 says, God is the judge of all. He is the judge of all. He putteth one down and bring. If the judge is on your side, what else? I have all. He is the judge. The cattle on a thousand hill belongs to him. Silver and gold belongs to him. So if I have the judge on my side, what else do I need? Elevation is my lot. And I pray concerning you this morning, elevation shall be your lot in Jesus' name. Joseph had no qualification. He had no qualification. The only qualification he had was just what he was, a man that carried the presence of the Lord. He was a man that feared the Lord. The Bible said in Genesis 39 or so from verse 1, he had no qualification. This man was prosperous in his master's house. He was prosperous in his master's house. Made us know that he was a slave there. He was prosperous. He had no campaign, no political party. He didn't belong to anybody. He didn't have a Baba Saleh. He didn't have any qualification per se. He didn't go to Cambridge, Harvard, Oxford. Yet, he was picked. Ex-convict, he rose up to be a prime minister of a place. It is real story. That thing will still be repeated in the life of somebody in the name of Jesus. Bringing you from the back, why? To the very front. That can only be, why? Because he said, I will not do this and sin against my God. That was what he had. He carried the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord followed him from Potiphar's house. He followed him inside the prison. Prisoners are not supposed to be happy. They're supposed to be downcasted. Why? Because they have all problems. For all you care, he didn't do what was placed there that he did. So he had all reason to be dejected. Yet he did not. He was a carrier of the presence of the Lord. And that presence brought him elevation. For you today, the presence of the Lord will bring you into limelight in the name of Jesus. Quickly, number four, what does the presence of God do for you when you are a carrier? It helps and assists. In Mark chapter 5, from verse 3 to 8. I'm not going to read that story, but you can place it on the screen. Help and assistance. This was a madman. That madman had correct madness as a first class one. Bible made us understand he will cut himself. He lived in tombs. He didn't live where people were living. He could not be reckoned with. He was very violent. So violent. He will cut himself. And he will be kind. He was in fetters. But something happened to this madman in the latter verse. Because of time, you can go home and read. Something happened to him. Jesus showed up. This man ran. That's why when pastor says something there, a madman will recognize fire. No matter how mad his mad may be, the madness will still allow him to recognize fire. This man was mad, yet he ran to Jesus. Bible says he worshipped. The presence of the Lord got him help. God's presence got him assistance. From a correct madness, he was restored. Why? Because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, showed up in his life. Today, the Lord will show up in your life. And help and assistance will come for you. Quickly, how can you provoke the presence of the Lord? How can you provoke or how can you activate? I've been talking about, I've given us what the divine presence can do. And how then can you provoke this presence? One major way of activating God's presence is what? Through thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an attitude of appreciation. In Psalm 100, verse 4, Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4. And into his courts with praise. One major path to the divine presence, or one major path that can take you to a major road that will take you to the divine presence or the presence of the Lord is what? Thanksgiving. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 95 verse 2 says, let us come before the presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 95 verse 2. Let us come before his presence with what? With thanksgiving. One major road, one major access to God's presence is to what? Thanksgiving. The more you thank this God, the more he shows up for you. What are the things to note about thanksgiving and divine presence? There is a connection between divine presence and thanksgiving. What are the things to note? Number one, things to note quickly. Every thanksgiver will always enjoy access to more of God. Every thanksgiver will always enjoy access to more of God. You can't thank God and remain the same. You can't be a thanksgiver and be on the same spot. Every thanksgiver will enjoy access to more. You are thanking God for something now. It's open. Thanksgiving, what is a letter and of more. You are applying for more. It's an application for more. You, for every time you thank God, you don't remain the same. How do I mean? In Luke chapter 17, from verse 13 to 19, I will just quickly show us the story of the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, from verse 13 to 19. There were the 10 lepers. Jesus healed 10 lepers. These 10 were healed. But something happened. Let's go to verse 10. Luke 17, 10. Hallelujah. Let me paraphrase. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded. Nope. Sorry, maybe I didn't get that scripture. I'll try and get it. Luke chapter 17. Sorry, let me try and see if I can get it. But I'm sure we all know the story of the 10 lepers. Perhaps I didn't get that particular scripture very well. But let me paraphrase so that I don't distract us. 10 lepers. These lepers were healed. The 10 of them were healed. But only one came back. One out of 10. 10%. Of 100, you can imagine. But only one came back. The Bible said he came back to say, he said, the Bible said he glorified God in a loud voice. Thank you, media. God bless you. And so one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. The Bible says, with a loud voice, oh pariwo, with a loud voice, he glorified God, having seen that he was healed. The remaining 9. Looked at themselves. Jesus told them, said, go, show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, and as they went, they were healed. So, while they were in front of Jesus, they were not healed. But the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. You saw that you were healed. They took it casual. It's normal. It is the master. He is the healer that can heal. And they went to the priest to show themselves. But that one leper came back to do something, to glorify God. And when as he glorified God, something happened. He got more. He was not the same. The Bible says, Jesus told him, I said, go, thy faith hath made thee whole. I think the last verse 19, please. And he said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He got more. Lepers, most the leprosy, it eats their skin, their fingers, their toes, everything. He makes them, he doesn't make their skin look good. Jesus healed them. Leprosy had stopped, yes. But I want to believe that the last 10, that last one that came back to glorify God, had his skin clean like a baby. They needed the priest to confirm if they were healed. But that one, mere looking at it, you know he is healed. He got more. Thanksgiving ushers you to more. Look, that you are thanking God does not mean that God has done it yet. There are ways there is something we call spiritual intelligence. It's different from human intelligence. Human beings thank God because of what they can see physically. Give me, then I say, for what you have given me, thank you. In the spiritual realm, thank him and then you accept it. You thank first before you accept. Thanksgiving comes before acceptance. You are thanking God. It's with an understanding that he is able. It's more like a complete trust in him. He is able to do it. You have admission. Thank him that you will graduate. At least some people did not have that admission at all. Thank him. You haven't graduated yet. Thank him for graduation. Some don't even have certificate yet to even enter. You are looking for the fruit of the womb. Don't complain over that. If you want more, if you want the fruit of the womb, thank him for what the Lord has done already. Thank him that you are even marriageable. Not everyone can be married. Not every pretty girl can be married. Not every figure eight can be married. Some have figure eight, fair skin, created on a public holiday. Anyhow you want to describe it. But me talking to them, hello sister. He said, chon, chon, chon. By the time you look at her, she's pretty, but she's not sane. Insanity. Some are okay. They look physically okay. But inside of them, they are not. You are crying or you are murmuring. You don't have money. I can't come to church. Some have that money. They cannot move anywhere. They are bedridden. Not because they desire. Their health condition has placed them there. Brethren, thanksgiving elevates you. That which you don't have yet, God knows it. Jesus knew that those 10 lepers, he knew, he saw them. But one came back and he got more. When you can thank God, it opens you up to more. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Somehow, some of us, our way of life. You ask God for children. He gave you. You now use that child as a hindrance. Why didn't you come to church? It's my children. One of my children fell sick. And I will ask myself deep down. I will smile. What if God has not given you that child in the first place? Won't you still have come to church? In all things, give thanks. Give thanks. And he knows your need. He knows you from the end. He knows your end even from the beginning. He knows how everything is going to look like. He's the one that wrote the entire book. The revelation from the Genesis. So why don't you thank him? And let the script writer help you to channel your path. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving opens you up to more. And I pray this morning you will get much more. In the name of Jesus. Number two things to note about thanksgiving and divine presence. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Let your request, by prayer and supplication, with pelu. That means without thanksgiving, your prayers are not answered. Thanksgiving is a guarantee for answered prayers. You have prayed, yes. But if you don't with, if you don't add with it, thanksgiving, thank him. That which I've asked, if you don't put it, it's just a wasted time in his presence. Don't waste your time in his presence asking God. There are times that you don't need to pray. Just worship him. Thank him for that which he has done. He will open up more. Why? Because that is the access. That is what guarantees answered prayers. If we go there with thanksgiving, that is, if you go to his presence with thanksgiving, in God's presence, it is very profitable. If we go with thanks, we will come out with profit. Hallelujah. I see somebody coming out with profit this morning in the name of Jesus. May you not waste your time in the presence of the Lord. One way of wasting time is to keep grumbling. Keep grumbling. Keep grumbling. Keep grumbling. Some people, if you hear their prayer, if you hear their prayers, it's filled with grumblings and murmurings. Lord, do this. You haven't done that. A and B got married. When will my own time be? Oh, Lord, have mercy and answer me quick. A and B, I'm Ando and Shea. When will my own time be? I am just managing in a nearby shop, collecting 5,000 as a graduate. Oh my God, when would that be? Those are not prayer requests. They are not. But thank him. Thank him. He has seen you already. The more you thank him, have access to greater things. When you thank him and thank him, he opens you up to greater things. And I pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord will open you up to more in Jesus' name. Number three, what does thanksgiving do? It is a spiritual exercise that is loaded with virtues. Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69, verse 30. It's a spiritual exercise that is loaded with virtues. He says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. It is loaded. When you, whatever, thank him. To thank God is to magnify him. Magnify, David magnified God. Instead of others, magnified Goliath. Oh, he's huge. Oh, he's big. Oh, he's an enemy. But he got there. He thanked God. That God that has helped him to kill the bear. That God that has helped him to kill the lion when he was in the bush. He remembered that. And he brought that act of thanksgiving to the. He said, look, you are small for my God. He thanked. Instead of magnifying, sometimes some of us magnify the devil. Praise is not a time. Some when you ask some people what is wrong, their face is dull. They say, the devil has been ravaging. By mentioning the devil himself, you are making him feel important. It's not important. Celebrate that which God has done. It's an insignificant non-entity. The devil is nothing. Magnify God and don't magnify the problem. You know, sometimes situations are how we look at it. When you are in a house and you look at that house, it looks so big. Oh, go up. Go to an aircraft. The higher you go, at some point, that house will begin to look like a matchbox. As you go higher, you even see it again. Why? Because you have changed level. Let your level change. Let your thanksgiving change. It's not because that thing is not there, but it magnifies God in that life. And I see that the things will turn around for you in Jesus' name. Number four, thanksgiving multiplies. The easiest way to see the power of God multiply in your life is via thanksgiving. Jesus gave thanks over 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 loaves would not be enough. 5 loaves would never be enough. And you know something? He did something. He said, put them in arrangements. Let them begin to sit. He made them to sit over 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He thanked God over it. And the power of multiplication came out. You are thanking God over that business. That business is not enough yet. You can't even break even yet. But thank God over that business and it will multiply. You are trusting God for great grace. Thank God for that one you have and it will multiply. Power of multiplication comes in the place of thanksgiving. And I know for somebody here, the Lord is going to multiply your life in the name of Jesus. Quickly, there are some examples of people. I'll just, because of my time, so that we can have time to thank God. Examples of 2 people, I'll just use 2. Who thanked God and access divine presence? Number 1 is Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 23 to 30. Acts chapter 16, from verse 23. Hallelujah. I'll be paraphrasing, but I wish I could read. But Acts 16, from verse 23. Let me just try and see if I could read. And when they had laid... See, let me paraphrase something before I read. Paul and Silas, no, don't take it away, please. Media, God bless you. Paul and Silas were great apostles, preaching the word, doing that which God called them to do. But something happened, if you read in that chapter 16, they were publicly disgraced. They were beaten, stripped of their clothes, beaten so hard, and something happened. In verse 23, they were jailed. Let's go, let's read from verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. If you read verse 24, who, having received such a charge, I want to believe that jailer, they got a special jailman. Probably they even tipped him. He said they charged the jailer. Who, having received the charge, that means he has received something. And the jailer was overreacting. You know some of us, I'm sorry, permission to some of us. I don't want to mention a particular force now. So that they won't, we have some people that are in the force. We have some force people. I don't want to mention, but you know it. Once they can see that this thing is pure lie, just give them shikini change. They will make that lie become truth. You stole this money. It is obvious that this person stole, but give the stealer or the thief the money. No, give the first person the money. They will make you that came to report. When did you see this person steal? Were you there when he stole? They will start asking you for things that don't exist. Give me evidence that he actually stole it. How much did he see when you saw him? If you cannot answer all these questions, then I think he's free. Hallelujah. So you can imagine that once they have received something, they begin to act haywire sometimes. So this jailer has received a charge. The Bible said in verse 24, he said, when having received such a charge, I'm sure it must have been a heavy charge, he thrust them into the inner prison. The charge began to work in his life and made their feet. He took them into the inner prison. He removed them from the normal prison. For what? I want to believe that the prison in level should be according to your offense. These people did nothing. What they did, they only ministered, they preached the word of God. And because of the small charge, they were removed from the minimum prison to the maximum prison. Maximum is probably where the people that, maybe they even guard their mouth safe because of the kind of caliber of people that were there. They fast, they tied their feet, fastened it so fast. You know, I'm painting a scenario this morning, not exactly to make us laugh, but you might be here. For these people, all hope was lost. They were doing the right thing. They were caught doing the right thing. They were kept in the inner prison. Nobody came to their rescue. Nobody. And you know something? They were there. Nobody. Battered, shattered. They had been beaten. They were tired. Probably they even prayed before they ministered. Maybe they were even fasting. Yet all things happened. All these things happened to them. You might be here. You might think all hope is lost. But I'm here to encourage you. These guys did something. Something was done. And God attended to their situation. If you read further, at midnight, verse 25. Somebody said at midnight. When you are faced with issues, don't be deceived. Some people believe as Christians we don't face issues. It's a lie. You will be faced with issues. But at those times, when your strength is small in times of adversity, when you fail in times of adversity, the Bible says your strength is small. That means there will be times of adversity. But you have to remain strong. These guys were strong. Nowadays, Christians don't want adversity. Any little thing, they run out. Any little thing, they run out. Any little thing, they run out. But in verse 25, it says, and at midnight, somebody said at midnight, they used a weapon. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. They prayed, like my pastor would say. They prayed, yes. And sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And verse 26, somebody said, suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Suddenly, that earthquake was powerful. You know, they were held up in the inner prison. No man could have, the jailer had been charged. He had received something. So he was under influence of charge. He was acting unimaginable. But they used a power that they knew. That was the power of praise and thanksgiving. Perhaps they were even singing. Momo, Bagbara Olorun Gbani. Bagbara Olorun Gbani. You know, staying in chains in the inner prison. And God is listening, saying, look, these people are held up. They are in a situation of lost hope. They are in a situation whereby man cannot help them. Yet, they could still cry up. Mom, I don't know if your situation is so bad that you feel man can't help you. But don't give up. These guys, if they had kept their mouth shut, they would have been finished. James kept his mouth shut. His head was chopped off. These guys used a power. They prayed. But something wasn't done. They prayed. But they couldn't see anything happen. They used the power of what? Praise. And what did they do? And then God was probably gradually standing up and nodding his head. Aha. And then he was saying, oh, I love it. In verse 26, he said, suddenly, the prison shook. The foundation, not just the prison, foundation, one foundation has shaken. Permit me. The whole building is going to come down. It's at risk. Architects in the house. When the foundation has been shaken, something happens. The pillars are not safe anymore. Something happens. But somehow, that was the beginning. The foundation shook. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Foundation, yes, a great earthquake. That means the implication, the effect of their praise was beyond the prison itself. It went. There was a great earthquake. Earthquakes don't happen in one house. So for an earthquake, it will make geologists, geographers in the house. You will feel the effect. Everyone got the impact of the praise. When they were doing their own,
Maybe a few people saw them. Now, national news to carry. There's a great earthquake in the prison of whatever. Why? Because of a key that was used. That was what? No matter how bad or hopeless that situation may be, Paul and Silas didn't give up. These guys could have given up and their destinies would have been short. They prayed, nothing happened, but the youth activated a power. Brethren, many Christians don't know the power in praise. Praise is so powerful. They activated the power and the praise, God himself came. Oh, Logun Loluwa. Oh, Logun Loluwa. Oluwa ni oruko re. Oh, Logun Loluwa. I want to be my Jehovah. Began to take steps. Maybe one step he took, he shook the prison. Another step, another earthquake. Another step, and then something amazed me. I'm sorry because of my time. The jailer that was acting on the influence of Kai Kai began to do something. Let's read further. Verse 20. Oh my God. Help me, Lord Jesus. And the keeper, verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, would have killed himself. Why? Oh, what be? His own has finished. He has collected money. He cannot deliver the action. For everyone that has taken money, for everyone that has taken oaths, that have sworn over your life, that your life will remain down, God will show up from this morning in the name of Jesus. And they will surrender to you. This jailer surrendered. Why? Because he saw a power that was bigger, that was strange, that was unusual, that shook the prisons. And please don't take that verse. Please. The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. He would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice. I'm very sure, not with the same voice he was used to bringing. With a loud voice. Hey, Mukaila, do thyself no harm. We are all in here. The God that will serve, if you can do this to us, you can be sure that you, please take it further. You are a dead, I'm sure, if you were like, you are doing your own, you know you are a dead meat now. You can see that my God has, they will now start bragging and be bringing out the biceps. Praise the Lord. But this guy's new. Immediately, then he called for a light. That means their NEPA, sorry, not NEPA, their power. There's no NEPA there. Then he called for a light and sprang in. There was no light. The power had gone off. He came trembling. Fell down before Paul and Silas. Your enemies will fall before you. In the remaining few months of this year, the Lord will show something unusual in your life. As you praise him this morning, your enemies will fall. Your enemies will come bowing. Please don't take that verse. Please, my time is past spent. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Ah, that which will make your enemies give their life to Jesus, it will happen in your life. You know that there are some powers, there are some evidences you can't argue. Inarguable evidences. You see it. You know that this can just only be God. They were taken helpless, like people that had no God, no Baba Saleh, nothing. Yet, Jehovah himself, the Obadabada himself, he came. You need me? They invoked his presence via his praise, via their praise. And the unimaginable happened. The unimaginable will happen in your life. As you are going to praise him this morning, don't praise him with your human intelligence. Praise him with an spiritual intelligence. Whatever battle you are going through that only you can tell, praise him with that understanding. And Jehovah has stepped into this situation, that hopeless situation, he will step into you in the name of Jesus. And then number two, because my time is fast spent, Jehoshaphat and the children of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 20. I'm going to just paraphrase because of my time so that we can have time to praise this God. In 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20 to 23, we can go and read on our own. There were some people that came together. The people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. They were so much. The children of Israel said they were a great multitude. So great. And they scared the children of Israel. But something happened. God told them to go and relax. The battle is not yours. It's mine. And Jehoshaphat, God people that know how to sing. Because of my time, I can't read. Just permit me. Bible says, and when they began to sing, I want to imagine. Maybe people of Ammon were wearing black. And they have put their AK-47 or GPMG inside of front and back. The people of Mount Seir did their own. Ammon did their own. I said, let us line up. And then they lined up. All of a sudden, when praise began, they faced each other and said, I told you to stay here. That one just said, I told you to stay here. They stabbed it. He went to the other side. I said, I told you to move forward. Before you knew it, Chief Commander, who told you to shoot? I said, you are fired. Before you knew, they faced each other. Your enemies will face themselves. Your enemies will face themselves. I don't know who has gathered against you or who has gathered on your sake that has made you incapacitated. You have prayed, you have not seen answer. You have prayed, you haven't seen any response yet. But Jehovah, as you begin to praise him this morning, will step into that particular situation and will give you help in the name of Jesus. Jehovah stepped in. He said, the battle is not yours, it is mine. Brethren, and as believers, when you are faced with issues that are beyond you and you have checked yourself, you know in your heart that somehow as Christians, I like to, when I say that something is wrong, I search my spirit. Say, Lord, is there anything I haven't done right? And if I've searched my spirit and I know all is well, and I know that battle has to be the Lord, just watch him. Stay back and watch Jehovah take over that battle. Hallelujah. Jehovah will take the battle of your life in the name of Jesus. You know, in Psalm 8 verse 2, he said, out of the mud of babes and sucklings have ye ordained strength. Another version says, have ye ordained praise? Have you, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, has he ordained praise? You know, because of my time, John, please come. Can you quickly come up? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How, I said, out of the mouth of babes, have ye ordained strength? One thing God has ordained you for. Every other ordination is. But one thing he has ordained you is he has ordained you to do what? To praise him. He has ordained strength. And there is a reason why he ordained that strength. Please, Psalm 8 verse 2. There's a reason. Why? Because of your enemies. Somebody say, because of my enemies. That thou might steal the enemy and the avenger. God gave you praise. Not just for jamboree alone. It is a weapon of war. To steal your enemy. To steal enemy means to make them mute. To defeat them. To disarm them. I want to use an illustration. Somebody used an illustration with me, and I was blessed. That illustration, he said, when they say disarm, that is remove the arm. Remove his. John is well built. He can do like this to me, and I will just go away. But let's imagine that I'm disarming. No, now, calm down. You know, I'm trying to disarm John, and I put his arm like this, right? So if I slap John now, he can't use his arm to injure me anymore. Perhaps he might be able to kick me, right? But what praise does, he disarms the enemy. And then he defeats, to defeat, to put down, to remove your feet. Remove the feet. John, kneel down. Put your arm. Imagine, for the sake of illustration, this is the enemy. Imagine. His arm is this. His feet has been defeated. The best John can do. The Bible says, the devil is like a roaring lion. He goes about. He just roar. He doesn't do anything. His arm has been defeated. His feet is defeated. His arm is decapitated. Everything. That is what praise does. The devil has no power to do anything other than to just roar. But via the power of praise, you are able to steal, to put down, to trample the enemy. In Jesus' name, you are not disarmed. In Jesus' name, you are not defeated. You are the head, so shall it be. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You know, praise is a powerful weapon. It's powerful, so powerful that it's used to steal the enemy. When you open your mouth in praise, you might think in the ordinary it's just for jamboree, but in the spiritual, there's a lot going on. Quickly, and I pray in the name of Jesus, that God will do the unusual in your life. I said the Lord will step into that situation of yours and do the unusual. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Please, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are here this morning. One major thing Or rather, how to, if you want to access his presence. He says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. But there's no point coming into his presence if you have sin in your heart. God detests sin. If the sin in you would not allow you access. That praise is a weapon like we have been taught. All hell's bad and all life's closed. You know things are not right with you. Or you know in your heart that you still need to settle some things with God. You want to give your life to Jesus quickly. I want you to lift up your hands this morning. I want you to lift up your hands this morning. You want to give your life to Jesus this morning? You're not really a bad person. But you know that if Jesus were to come right now, you can't make it with him. You won't be able to go with him because you have a lot of things that you need to settle. Quickly, I want you to raise up your hand. Don't be ashamed. Jesus has given us a praise weapon. Don't praise him this morning if you know that you still have some things to settle. Quickly, I'm going to count to the count of five. Don't waste time this morning. Be bold and come out gallantly and say, Jesus, I want to accept you. Raise up your hand. If you're raising up your hand, well, raise it up and be bold. I am associated with Jesus. Be bold. Thank you. If you are raising up your hand, raise it well. Let us see. So that at the end of time, he will not deny you. You are not bad per se. You are not even bad. But you have some things you are still struggling with. You have some sin you are still struggling with. Quickly, I want you to lift up your hand this morning at the count of five. One.
Give me you.
Two.
Everything else can wait.
Three. You are here. Just give yourself. Your praise can only be acceptable if you have surrendered your Jesus. Your thanksgiving can only be acceptable. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The count is going, please. Don't be ashamed to give your life to Jesus, to surrender. There is no point having everything and losing Jesus. Having everything and losing your life. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Give your life to Jesus at the count of four. God bless you. There's somebody here that is still struggling. Don't struggle with it. Don't struggle with it. Just raise up your hand. And at the count of five, I will still give you opportunity. Please raise up your hand. You want to give your life to Jesus. Just raise your hand this morning. All right. For those of us that are raising up our hands, can we take that bold step? Take that bold step and stand up, please. And say after me. Father, have mercy upon me. Cleanse me from every form of unrighteousness. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Give me grace from this day onward to stand. I invite your presence to fill my life. Let my life take a new turn from this minute in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for those ones. I ask the Lord to give them grace to stand in Jesus' mighty name. Please, if you just said that prayer, follow those beautiful people and go and take it. Lord, go ahead and take it. Can we be on our feet as we begin to appreciate Jesus?
Oh, give me you, oh, give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you, give me you. I am not afraid.
Hallelujah. I wanted to pray this prayer and say, Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your kindness. Go ahead and begin to appreciate him for your word that we have heard this morning. For your love, for the word. Have prayed and pray. Are you praying like you really mean it this morning? Father, thank you for your word, for your love, for your kindness. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. A better amen. I want us to pray and say, Father, help me to dance like never before. You know, I've given us an understanding, or I've helped us to have an understanding. There's a difference between human intelligence and the spiritual intelligence. Dance with an understanding this morning. Whatever you have come in here with, dance with the whole of your heart. Dance. The psalmist danced like David danced like a baby. He danced so much. His wife detested him in her heart. Hallelujah. I said, how can a whole king like this strip himself before the ladies in town? So the woman, he was stripping. But to the King of Kings, his praise was accepted. To the Lord of Lords, his dance was accepted. Don't come with a conformed dance this morning. Give God your best and watch him fight your battles. Do you think Paul and Silas praised God in a solo tone? They glorified, they cried, and the prisoners held them. The prisoners heard them. As you lift up your mouth in praise this morning, as you dance in praise this morning, and as you give your offering in praise this morning, Jehovah himself will step in the name of Jesus. God will step in.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.